do have Exodus 12 open in front of you. And if you're a kid, you might want, or an adult, there's a sermon handout sheet for you to fill in this morning. We're going to do things in three blocks this morning rather than in one section. So you might want this. And you'll notice at the top it says, what are the four key words from this morning's talk? And on the back are the blanks for you to fill in. If you are able to fill those four blanks in with the right words, then there will be a prize for you at the end. You can come and see me on the door. This is only open to those who are about 12 or below. I may have mercy on those who are slightly older in their teenage years, but if you are 20 plus, no. I won't beat around the bush. Okay, so let's think about it. We have been thinking in our all-ages services about how the Old Testament helps us. Do you remember what it is? Learn about, and get ready for our. Okay, we're going to learn about, get ready for. And this morning, we're going to see how the Old Testament gives us pictures or models of salvation in particular that help us to better understand God, ourselves, and get us ready for our saving. See, so we're going to see how there's a picture that shows us something much greater. I've shown you this before, but here's a model of a Virgin Atlantic 747. Now, it's a beautiful model, isn't it? You can see the detail of it, and you can see the markings are all right, and there's little windows, and you can see the engines, and the wheels, and the wings, and there's a couple of wings missing, but, But it's a wonderful model in that sense, and you can look at it and go, wow, that's pretty good. But if you were to stand next to the Virgin Atlantic Boeing 747, the real thing, you would be blown away. It's so much better. I mean, this helps you get it, doesn't it? It's a great model, it's a great picture, but how much better and bigger and more awesome and splendid is the real thing? And that's what's happening in the Old Testament. The Old Testament has shown us a model, a picture, so that we would grasp the real thing and see just how wonderful and splendid it is. And this morning we're thinking about this model, this picture of salvation, and then how it comes even greater and more beautiful in the Lord Jesus. And the great model, the great picture of salvation in the Old Testament is the Exodus. It's the Passover, freedom from slavery. And so we're going to spend some time looking at this picture of salvation. Now, if you remember last time when we were at an all-age service, we were looking at God's promises. And we saw how God had promised Abraham a large family with many descendants. This is where I need a number of the kids. Those who want to come up, about 12 of you coming over, stand over here. Let's go, 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 go. Okay, two. We're not a very big family. That's it. Great, guys. Great, great, great. Come on up. Trish, come stand here. Brilliant. A few more. Come on. I need. That's it. Keep coming. Come on. You all came up for Graham. I don't know what to say about that. Any more? Brilliant, come on. We'll work with what we got. We needed 12, but we'll work with a few more. That's fine. So over here we had Abraham. Abraham then had Isaac. Isaac then had Jacob. And Jacob then had 12 sons. And one of those sons was Joseph. And Joseph, who would like to be Joseph? Do you want to be you? Go, Joseph. Go and stand over there, man. Joseph gets sent over to Egypt. Right over there, next to Jim. Yeah, I know, scary. Sorry. Brilliant. Not that big. So there he is, Joseph, over in Egypt. His brothers had sent him into slavery. But Joseph in Egypt rises up to become Pharaoh's number two. Then there's a famine. And the whole of Egypt's affected, and also where all of Joseph's brothers are affected and his families are affected as well. And Joseph, in this position, actually says, hey guys, Come and live with me. I'll look after you. So you guys go all the way over there to that River Jordan. Now you're all in the land of Egypt. That's it. Go over there. You traveled. Brilliant. We're now all in Egypt. And you're there. And you go as a family. But over time you have many descendants. We're now all in Egypt. And you're there for about 400 years. And that's pretty good. But over time, as this family grew, the pharaohs changed, and the new pharaohs didn't remember what Joseph had done, and they didn't like the Israelites. And so they put them in slavery. Another whole chain, brilliant, and whole chain, brilliant, thank you. You guys are now in slavery, all of you, in slavery. And they were treated badly. You were whipped and you were treated horrendously and made to work really, really hard. And what you guys did was you called out to God for help. You ready? Help! Brilliant. And the big question now is, how will God save them? How will God save his people from Egypt? You guys can go sit down. Thanks very much. I'll pull you back up in a minute. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How's God going to save his people from these guys? Well, he sends Moses. Moses asks Pharaoh to let God's people go. The Pharaoh would not. So God judged. He punished Pharaoh and Egypt. He sent the plagues. These plagues of judgment. So there were locusts and frogs and darkness and hell. And it was just horrible. 9 really harsh plagues. And still Pharaoh said no. Till the 10th. And final plague, where what would happen is that God would kill every firstborn son in Egypt. See, Pharaoh had not let God's firstborn son go, Israel. That's how God described his people, as his firstborn son, precious to him. And as such, God's judgment would be just. It would be an eye for an eye. So every firstborn son would die, including in the Israelite camp. Oh, but aren't they the firstborn son? Why will judgment fall on them? Because they too are sinners. Yes, Pharaoh had disobeyed God. He mistreated God's firstborn son, Israel. But Israel had not behaved as God's firstborn. They had failed to trust him. They had grumbled. I remember when Moses had first gone to Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh makes the slave's life even harder. Make me more bricks and gather your own straw. And the Israelites complain to Moses. And Moses says, oh, no, no. And he goes to God, and then Moses tells him all that the Lord will do, how he's going to save them, how he'll use his outstretched arm, how he will redeem them with mighty acts of judgment. And we read Exodus 6, verse 9. But they did not listen to Moses. They too were sinners. They had treated God wrongly. They had disobeyed. And so God's judgment would be just for all. There would be no difference. There would be death would result in every household, verse 30. Both Israelite and Egyptian. All were sinners. All had disobeyed God. Oh, we're beginning to get a glimpse, a picture, a model. God's judgment would come. But the difference would be that in the Israelite household, God would provide a substitute. And what's a substitute? Someone who takes someone's place, isn't it? So I might say, hey Jim, why don't you come and preach the rest of the sermon and I'll do the sound. I wouldn't be fair. I wouldn't know what to do with the sound, so we'll give that a miss. But you take someone's place, don't you? You swap. And God provided a substitute for the Israelites. He provided a lamb. It was to be a lamb that was perfect and without defect. We learn chapter 12, verse 5. And this lamb was to then live with the family for 14 days. So it was part of the family. And then you killed it. and you took its blood, and verse 7, you went to your doorpost. I need one child, one boy. Just happened to have this. One boy. Oh no, brilliant. Come on. And you're a firstborn, brilliant. Now I would like you to, Sam, just go behind the door here. Brilliant. Are you okay? Good, good. Noah is going to be our test case. See, what they did to do, wasn't it? You had to paint the blood on the door. Blood of that poor little lamb. Just like that. And then what happened? That night, go to sleep now. You can't go to sleep down there. He's asleep. Brilliant. The angel of death passed over. And where there was blood on the door, the angel passed over, and the firstborn was safe. Are you safe there? Yeah? Thumbs up? Put your head out so everyone can see you're safe. See, he's safe. The judgment passed over. You can go and sit down. Thanks, man. And where there was no blood on the door, the firstborn son died. Judgment was given, just as God had said. And in every household in Egypt that night, blood was shed. It was either the blood of the lamb taking the place of the son, the lamb as the substitute, or it was the firstborn son. And in this picture, this model, it's pointing forward to an even greater salvation. See, the Old Testament pictures, what do? They teach us about God. And what have we learned? Well, we've seen he's holy and he will judge. We can't disobey him. But he provides a substitute. It's teaching us about ourselves, that we've seen actually we're all sinners, Egypt and Israel. We're all disobeyed God, and we're just like them. We therefore face his judgment. It gets us ready for our Savior, Jesus. It shows us we need a substitute, otherwise we too will face God's judgment. And we learn in the New Testament that Jesus is our substitute. The 2 Corinthians 5, Jesus is called our Passover lamb. And he's not just a little animal. Because a lamb could never really be a substitute. We need one like us, human. But one without defect. One who is sinless. One who is perfect. Just as the lamb was to be without defect, so was Jesus. And in the Old Testament, God had provided a lamb. Now it was God the Son who was the lamb. And Jesus dies. And now it wasn't the lamb's blood that was poured on the cross. It was Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross. So that now, all who would believe and trust in Jesus, like the Israelites trusted and believed in the door and the blood on the door, and were safe when God's judgment came over them, for those believing in the cross, and in Jesus' death, now when God's judgment comes, and it will, they'll be saved. God's judgment will pass them over. Because Jesus, our Passover lamb, has taken our judgment, taken the punishment that we deserved. He's our substitute. See, the picture in the Old Testament is getting us ready for our Saviour. So that we would see our need as sinners. See our need for a perfect substitute that we might believe. And so the question is, do you? Do you? We're going to sing "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." Let's stand and sing.